Good morning. It's truly a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. It's a blessing to see everyone here with us. We will continue to pray for our dear brother, Gene Tope, that he will get back to his full strength soon. In the meantime, would you please turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, one verse as we begin our study this morning. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. Here, the word of God reads, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." There is an event that is appointed unto all men. There is an event that is reserved for every one of us. It is death. The death event is laid up and waiting for every human being. The death transition awaits every soul. The Word of God says, "And it is appointed for men to die once." Understand that this is not a scheduled appointment on a particular day. No, this is not like a normal appointment. This is not like a reservation at a restaurant that you can make and then cancel when you change your mind. Regardless of your desire, this appointment will be fulfilled. The Bible is very clear on teaching about death. There are many verses, many passages in the Bible that deal with the subject of death and reveal specific facts about death. Still, there are so many incorrect ideas in the world today when it comes to death. These views are not biblical. And not being biblical, they can cause real harm as they minimize the importance of obeying the Word of God. These views are arrogant as they allow for man to speak where only God has knowledge. These views support and promote false conclusions concerning the character of God. This morning, I would like to address three false views concerning death. Three false views that many of you have heard, and maybe some of you have even used. Number one, it was his time to go. Number two, it is the Lord's will. Number three, they are unconditionally in a better place. First, how often do you hear people say it was his time to go? I submit it was not. Do you know what is really being said when that statement is made? A statement like this is fatalistic. Fatalism is a false doctrine that says that all events are predetermined in advance for all time, and all human beings are powerless to change them. This is saying that a person's future is already set. Be careful when you say it was this person's or that person's time to go when they die. You don't know that. Again, Hebrews 9 and verse 27 says, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." It is appointed means that death will happen to all of us. Every human on this earth without exception, without consideration of wealth or fame or race or age or desire to live or desire to die. Our verse speaks to the certainty of death, not the time of death. We just can't say that it's someone's time to die. People die of illness. People die when their bodies are poisoned by diseases and infections and viruses. People die. We die from the infirmities of the flesh and from accidents and from calamities. We die from sin and because of sin. 2 Corinthians 5 talks about how we groan and how we are burdened while in this flesh. Please turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the first four verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the first four verses. Here the word of God says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life." We are blessed. We are not going to groan forever. We are not going to be burdened in this body forever, because mortality is going to be swallowed up by life. This is going to happen. We just don't know the time. Just like we don't know if it's someone's time to go. I hope you will think differently when you are about to use this phrase in the future. Secondly, another false view that I hear all too often, it is when people say, "It was the Lord's will." Be assured that the death of your loved one, your brother, your sister, your uncle, your husband, your wife, your father, your precious friend, that death was not the Lord's will. Sickness and death is a result of sin. From the beginning, it was not God's will that we grow old. It was not God's will that we spend a single moment in sickness. It was not God's will that we endure pain and suffering. I say again, death is a result of sin. Saying that it is the Lord's will is saying that it was the Lord's will that man sinned. That it was the Lord's will that death come into this world. Romans 5 and verse 12 reads, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned." Let's go back to the Garden of Eden, if you would. Please turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, I'd like to read verses 17, 18, and 19 from Genesis chapter 3. Hear the word of God says, "Then to Adam, God said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Death came because God's commandments were not followed. It is not the Lord's will that we disobey him. Disobedience brought death. Related to thinking that death is God's will is the misdirected thoughts that people have when they get mad at God when death takes someone dear to them. It is an unfortunate and false view to blame God for your loss. Don't get mad at God. Don't blame God. Regardless of how untimely the death, regardless of how tragic, regardless of how young the person may be, you may love that person with all of your heart and you may feel like you can't go on. Whatever you think or whatever you feel, don't get mad at God. That's getting mad at the wrong one. Get mad at sin. Hate the instigator. Hate the originator of sin. Get mad at the devil. And do everything in your power through Christ Jesus to defeat this evil adversary. To defeat this enemy combatant in the spiritual realm. We can defeat the author of lies using the knowledge contained in the Word of God. Obey the Word of God. This is how you fight death. This is how you fight the devil. This is how you use your anger against the devil. Hebrews 2 and verse 14, if you would. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14 teaches us that Jesus destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil. You see, when you follow Jesus, you render the devil ineffective. When you obey the commandments of the Lord, when you obey what the Word of God says, the devil is unsuccessful in your life. Don't get mad at God. You don't know if a person's death is God's will. To find out God's will, we have to go to the Bible. Let's examine another closely related false view. And that is that God is punishing someone when they die. How often have people in idle conversations declared that this or that person that was killed in an accident or died suddenly was being punished by God? How can that be true when so often the righteous die young and the wicked live long? Death captures the good and the evil. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 15, it reads, "There is a just man who perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs life in his wickedness." Let's look at another verse or group of verses from Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And we have to realize that sometimes the wicked get away with wickedness all of their lives. They never get punished. But there are also times when a righteous person may perish or experience calamity, though they're doing everything to remain steadfast in their Christian living. Ecclesiastes 9, and I would like to read verses 11 and 12 of Ecclesiastes chapter 9. "I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. For man also does not know his time. Like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare, so the sons of men are snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. Just because someone experiences calamity, suffering, and even death does not mean that they are being punished by God. We just don't know. The Word of God tells us that time and chance happens to us all, to all of us. We don't have the knowledge to speak on these things. We have to be careful what we say when we talk about death. We ought to make sure that what we say is consistent with the Word of God. People die in many ways and from many things, but don't blame God for this. Man does not have the ability to discern whether or not it is the punishment of God. Jesus talks about this in Luke chapter 13. If you would, please, let's turn and read Luke chapter 13, the first five verses. Luke chapter 13, the first five verses. Here the Word of God says, there were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that those Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Of those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Though we can't say that someone was killed because of God's punishment, when death comes and we find out about a tragic event, we better think about our own readiness to experience death. We better think about whether or not our life is right with God. We better think about our need to repent. Use tragic events as a warning to repent from sin, because sin is the cause of all evil in this world. In Acts chapter 12, in verse 23, King Herod was struck dead on the spot because he did not give glory to God. The infallible Word of God tells us why and how King Herod died. We have the punishment of God documented to teach us and to warn us. But if someone was to die on the spot without warning, please don't say that God punished that person. God is the judge of that, and not us. We all have to die. Unless Christ returns first, you will experience death. People die. Use the death of others to reflect on your readiness to endure the transition out of this life. The third and final false view is the false statement concerning death that I hear the most. They are in a better place. Regardless of how they have lived, they could have rejected Christ. They could have cursed Christian living. They could have ignored spiritual things. But people, all of a sudden, when they die, declare, they judge, they come to the conclusion that they are in a better place. How many times have you heard this? All of us have lost loved ones. Having lost loved ones over the years, oh, how I long to see them in a better place than this earth. Yet I declare to you that it is the word of God that determines where we are going to be seen. Some of my family members and friends in the body of Christ who have passed away, in my estimation, were doing all that they could to live godly lives. They were faithful Christians from what I could see. And I am thankful for the scriptural comfort that we can go to in times of loss. Yet regardless of how close we may be to a person, and regardless of how much we love them, where they spend eternity is the decision of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is the decision of divinity. We do not get to make that judgment regardless of how we feel. When a man makes that kind of judgment, he makes an incorrect assessment of the power that it takes to judge man. Only divine power can make after death judgments. We have to be careful. We can't speak for Jesus in matters like this. Acts 10 and verse 42 teaches us that Jesus was ordained by God to judge the living and the dead. Romans 2 and verse 16 teaches us about a day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to the gospel. We don't know the whole story. We don't know all the secrets. Only God. God has the full truth to judge men. After this exit from life, after death comes the judgment. There will be an estimation of our character, rather an examination of our character after this life, and it will not be made based on the words of men. The examination of our character after this life will not be based on the assessment of well-meaning friends and relatives. The judgment, the examination, will not be based on tradition and traditional statements, but according to the Word of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 12 and verse 48, records the words of Jesus. It says, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." I pray that we will be judged to be followers of the commandments of God. For there is nothing we can do to eliminate the event of spiritual death. But there is something that we can do regarding what happens beyond this life. We can render the devil eternally powerless as it relates to your soul by living for Jesus. You can be among the blessed who follow the commandments of God. Revelation 22, if you would. Revelation 22, verses 14 and 15 says that blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. Comforting words are so precious during a time of loss. And I urge you to comfort people, but let your comforting words be the truth. Let your comforting words be based on the Word of God. Well, what am I willing to say when someone loses a loved one, when someone passes away? I want to comfort them. I want to say that I'm sorry for your loss and my heart goes out to you. I want to say that God is a righteous judge. I want to say that God is the God of all comfort and he will comfort you in your tribulation. I want to say that I'll pray for you and sit with you and cry with you. We just need to be careful what we say about death and about those who have died. Because we all must die, and we're all going to be judged. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. Are you ready to be judged by God today? Are you ready to give an accounting of your life in the presence of the one who lived a completely sinless life? Well, let me start by giving you my answer. I'll go first. Friday night, as I was working on this sermon, this lesson, I asked myself, Reuben Southall Jr., are you ready to be judged right now? If you were called away from this world and your spirit departed your body right now, are you ready for judgment? So I did an internal self-examination. And the conclusion that I came to was that I would like some more time. A lot of us want more time. But the point is, more time is not guaranteed. Therefore, I urge you to respond to the gospel today. Hebrews 3 and verse 7 says, today, if you will hear my voice, do not harden your hearts. And what that means is don't be insensitive to God's word in the midst of an invitation. During the invitation is when Satan is busy giving you elaborate justifications for not following the gospel, giving you all kinds of schemes or reasons for not to obey. Don't harden your heart. Instead, hear Romans 10 and verse 17. Believe, Mark 16 and verse 16. Repent, Acts 2 and verse 38. Confess, Romans 10 verses 9 and 10. And be baptized, 1 Peter 3 and verse 21 and Acts 22 and verse 16. Then be faithful unto death, Revelation 2 and verse 10. And if you are already a Christian, remember the words of 1 John 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you are subject to the gospel call, please come forward this morning as we stand and sing.